Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. Got a lot to talk about this week since we took last week off for because we were in Sydney, and that was fun. Sydney is a place in Australia for those who don't live in Australia. What? It's the Opera House that's there that everyone knows, right?
Yes.
All right, yeah. So the Opera House is there. It's fun. I haven't been. Anyway, let's get straight into it. I'm Karen, and with me is the beautiful and amazing Caitlin.
Hi.
You made that sound like so not beautiful and amazing. Hi.
Hi.
All right, let's talk. Something that we haven't finished, Hollow Knight, is coming out with its sequel, Silksong.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty cool. Like, it looks more of the same, but like using we've played a bit of it. So it's using one of the other characters, Hornet, as the main character. And that's a whole different moveset. From what the developers, Team Cherry, have said, it's like kind of more floaty and it's a bit more fluid, I guess. So, because like I remember the boss fight with her, and she's like kind of spends a lot of time in the air and doing things like that. And from the trailer, it kind of looks the same, which is not bad. Like, it's good that they're making a different game, and yeah. What else about it? So, for any of those who love the soundtrack, like I do, the same composer, Chris Larkin, will be scoring it again, which is really nice. I think they were saying, because I watched their kind of interview of the release of it, they were saying that they couldn't imagine going with someone else, so that he's been working on it since the beginning. So I imagine that a lot of the soundtrack's already done.
Mm.
So that's good. Yeah, I'm excited for it. It coming out has definitely motivated me to finish Hollow Knight, though.
Yes.
That seems to be the case with me. I'm like, oh, I'll get around to that game. Number 2 is coming out. Fuck!
Have you actually played any of it, though?
Hollow Knight?
No, I mean, like, recently, because I haven't seen you playing it.
No, because we're doing it for Questcast, and that's why I haven't played it. Otherwise, I would have. Because it'd probably be a really good game to play on my Switch just randomly.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like that kind
I'm
of game.
I'm playing it on my Switch.
You are an asshole.
I haven't played it in ages, though.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, that's good. What else? Yeah, there's not too much else to talk about. It's set in a new area. I'm looking forward to
Still just on, what's it available on?
It's coming out on PC and Switch. So
is the first one on PC?
First one's on PC. Oh. First one came out on PC. And then got ported to Switch.
Oh, okay.
This one is coming out simultaneously on PC and Switch.
So maybe a little bit more allowed for Switch? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, as opposed to being ported over?
Well, instead of being ported over, yes. The Switch is, like, not an afterthought. Well, when they started developing in 2014, like, the Switch was still, like, not
a thing.
A thing.
Yeah.
Well, they kickstarted it in 2014, so it was probably in development since 2013. Like. Yeah, so their first thing was PC first. Mm. Then, like, they're like, oh, this game's probably perfect for Switch, ported it over, whereas this one definitely has both platforms in mind. They are open to doing other platforms, but as a three-man team, because it's just the two, like, designer artists, Ari and Will, and then a programmer. I know they got a contractor to help with the Switch port last time. I don't know if they're going to do that this time.
If they're already...
Yeah.
Making it
my insights
Switch.
Don't go that far. I could find out, actually. I could ask them questions. But I'm not going to, because I'm happy with whatever. Anyway, that's Hollow Knight Silksong. I'm really looking forward to it, because they've changed a few of the mechanics, like the charms and stuff. So,
okay.
It should be interesting.
Mm.
It was, it's good. So, this will make you happy. Mario Maker 2. I never got to play one, but you've made me watch lots of stuff of it.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube Let's Plays and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the common things I heard about Mario Maker is that it didn't, like, it was great, but didn't have the amount of control that people wanted for the level editing. From what I don't know, but from what I've seen of, like, their level making stuff that they've showed off so far, it looks pretty intense. Like, there is a lot of tools.
Like, even more options?
I imagine it's more options, because why would they showcase it if it wasn't?
Yeah, no, but that's what I meant when you said people were saying they didn't have enough control over stuff. I'm assuming they meant like more options of like things to do and
I don't know, this is just what
ways to customize things. I've seen maybe.
Yeah, I assume so. It's just what I've seen on Reddit. I'm definitely going to get this. I want to make a series of levels and just, you know, see how people like them. I think that'd be really fun.
Mm.
I love that you have to try and beat it yourself because I suck at games. So.
Yeah, but it's the whole point. It has to be winnable. You can't just make a
level. Oh, no, I get that. But, like, I can't make the hardest level because I can't beat the hardest level. That's, like, the thing. Mm. I wonder if they could do, like, some machine learning AI that's like, is this beatable or not?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Just runs a simulation. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if you're absolutely perfect, you can beat this.
So no one, oh, okay, there's people that can beat it, but like 1%.
Yeah.
The 1% of the 1% can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, what are you looking forward to that? Is that something you'd want, or are you just happy watching Let's Players bang their head against walls trying to beat them?
No, I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. I haven't actually played the first one. I have it, but I haven't played
you
it.
You have it and have... Oh, yeah, it's fair enough. Like, the Wii U is, like, dead.
Yeah.
So...
And I only, like, relatively recently got the Wii U, so...
I'm pretty sure they just shut down the Wii store as well, so you can't, like, do anything online with it anyway.
Because
that's what they did. Which is lame. Oh, well... It could be worse. I don't know how it could be worse, but it could be worse.
Yeah.
And they could do some sort of DRM so all your games didn't work.
Maybe.
That'd suck. But yes, Mario Maker 2. It says June 2019. That's this year. Obviously for Switch only. It'd be weird if they did it for... That
and
is,
PC.
Well, they've done some of their games on mobile now, which is like... super strange, and they've made lots of money, so and it would be weird if they released things on consoles like Xbox and PlayStation, because that would be strange anyway. So this was for Nintendo Direct, which was like a week ago, and the other thing that was amazing was Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. So this is kind of like a top down, well, it's like the original one on Game Boy, so it's top down, but if you think of the graphic style, it kind of reminds me of the later Pokemon games, like the way you cut bushes and stuff with like the cut thing.
How late yeah, in the Pokemon series,
because
like they've really changed their graphics.
Not any of the Switch stuff,
right?
I mean, like DS, old DS stuff. That's what I mean. I don't know if I want to get the Eevee and Pikachu versions of it.
Let's go, Eevee.
All right, well.
I don't know. Why are we talking about that and not...
Because that's what I was comparing it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 25-year anniversary or something, or it's like 25 years since this one came out. It is, yeah, it's good to remake it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people that have like played... probably the last few Zeldas, like as children, have grown up and like never experienced the first ones, so probably good to do it. They can make some money, because that is one thing Nintendo don't do. They don't make it so you can play their old titles easily, so they'll just remake them and sell it to you again.
Yeah,
at least this isn't like we've just released it as it was 25 years ago and but we're charging you $40 for it.
Yeah.
They've like fully remade it. Mm. Like it is 100% remade. Like I imagine that a lot of the puzzles will be different and stuff because of like just the technology that they can make them different. Because like it was definitely before like very, all right, we can have three types of puzzles because that's the amount of memory that's on the thing.
Yeah.
That kind of, those limitations.
Maybe.
Well, from the trailer that I saw, like, there's some pretty involved stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'll definitely play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun. The one thing I would love them to remake is Wind Waker. That'd be so amazing.
Mm.
Like, I imagine, I remember it being beautiful, but like them remaking it with like the Switch's graphics now, like,
yeah,
Breath of the Wild's graphics would be so beautiful.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
Oh, I would really love it, because I think it's my favorite Zelda. Like, Ocarina of Time I loved because I was a kid, but that's more nostalgia than it is it was a good game, whereas Wind Waker just amazing.
Yeah.
Other things in Nintendo Direct, they're just releasing lots of third-party stuff, like Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, which I haven't played, but now I've got like 40 different variants I can play it on. Assassin's Creed 3, some Dragon Quest, there's a lot there.
Mm.
The only thing they need to fix now is their store, because it is horrible to find stuff on. Like,
yeah,
absolutely horrible. They've got so many titles now, and yeah, it sucks. So, that's Nintendo. So, oh yeah, Legend of Zelda coming out on Switch. We're surprised.
Mm.
Well, they're still releasing some stuff on DS. So, if they did do it on that,
they might do it on both.
It could be both. Now this is disappointing, because I really liked the first one, Crackdown 3. It came out this week, kind of to like everybody's surprise, because like that, it was more just like, oh, Crackdown 3 is out now, because everyone knew it was coming out, but you not know, like with Anthem, you're like, I know when Anthem's coming out. Like, I don't want to know when Anthem's coming out, mm-hmm. but like they paid for advertisements in my bedroom, like on the ceiling, like there's just marketing everywhere for it.
That?
Yeah. There's just a drone that hovers in the backyard beaming images through all the windows.
Uh-huh.
It's marketing will actually get to that one.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's not talk about it. It's depressing me. But yeah, Crackdown 3. Terry Crews is like one of the main people in it. Yeah, there's really not much else to say about it. I think it's made by the Saints Row team. So like it's got that kind of Saints Row feel to it. You know, crash lots of stuff, shoot lots of stuff. But they haven't really added anything to it.
Mm.
I believe we can play it on Xbox Pass, so if we want to do that, we can. If it's co-op, I might actually do that, but
interesting.
From what I've heard story-wise and like gameplay-wise, it's just not evolved enough, because like it still feels like it's a game from... like it still feels like number one,
okay,
essentially. Like, and while sometimes that's
not in a good way.
Yeah, not in a good way. Not like a... oh, I really want to go back and play number one kind of thing. It was just kind of like, ah, oh, they haven't done anything.
The same thing.
Yeah, that. Which is like what kind of happened to the later stages of Saints Row, actually.
Yeah.
So, which is sad. Because I love Saints Row.
I really liked Saints Row.
Saints Row 1, 2, and 3, for me, like people were like, GTA. I'm like, nah, Saints Row, buddy.
I actually haven't played 1 or 2.
What is wrong with you?
I know you say this every time I tell you, but
okay.
I was like, I didn't even know they existed until I got Saints Row 3, and I got Saints Row 3 like...
But the story of how you meet all the characters is amazing.
Yeah, that's the point, is like, I got into the third one.
And then like, Gat is Gat.
Yeah, pretty much. And... yeah, I got into that late in the game anyway, so... but I still really liked it, and then...
yeah.
Yeah, so...
I believe we have had this conversation before.
We have,
oh, well. You'll get there.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't mind... probably at this point I'd just, like, watch a playthrough, maybe, or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of the story.
My favourite thing to do in that game, the 1 and 2, was the insurance fraud minigame. Where you had to, like, try and get hit by traffic and do as much damage as possible.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
So fun. That's, like, if I went to play 1 and 2, I'd probably still spend most of my time doing that.
They have that say, I think...
it's in 3, I'm pretty sure.
I think, I know the... is it the ragdoll one?
Yeah, basically.
Where you ragdoll and then you have to... yeah. So they have that in 3 and 4, but they have it, like, it's a different concept.
I think in 3 and 4, like, they made it very, like, you got hit and then it slowed down time and you could kind of, like, fly through the air.
Yeah.
And it was very Matrix-y-like. So that is, yeah, it wasn't great, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Caitlin? It was like a simulation stuff.
Yeah. Because in number 4, you were in the simulation. So you, like, when you got hit, you could, like, move around in the air, and it wasn't very realistic.
And you had to take the red pill or the blue pill?
Well, no. But it didn't matter. Like, it's not like, oh, that's super unrealistic, because you were literally in a simulation. So it
was 4 that had the hacker girl, right? That, like, she was hacking through the simulation that you're in or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought that was a bit lame, even, like, not even looking back on it, like, just when I was doing it, I'm like, this is really lame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I never took them to be, like, serious.
Yes, that's fair. 1 and 2 was like that, but, oh well. We should probably talk more about Crackdown 3. So that's what the team,
oh, right.
That's what the team was doing when making Crackdown 3. They made some other bad games first. Well, not bad games, but didn't live up to their potential games and went on to make Crackdown 3. So that's unfortunate. I think the only thing they did was, like, hire Terry Crews to be like, oh yeah, our game has Terry Crews in it. Mm. People will play it. Cool.
Yeah. Who knows?
Probably not.
Doesn't seem like...
He's not that... he's awesome, but he's not, like, that kind of a weight puller.
No, but I meant, like, it doesn't seem like something that he would... like, I think he wouldn't pin his name or whatever to something that he wasn't, like, pretty sure was good.
Well, I think he probably did an amazing job in the voice acting, and they let it down with the game.
Maybe.
Because, like... And it was probably part of his contract way before he knew the quality of it. Like, we can use your name to do stuff.
No, it's not like, oh, what I meant was I don't think he'd sign on for a project at all.
Oh, yeah. But the project could have sounded amazing and then they made what they
made.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess so.
Because, like, when they would have signed him on to do the voice and stuff, like, it would have been, like, such in its infancy.
Mm.
That.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, like, they've been advertising that, like, well, not advertising, but, like, they're like, oh, yeah, Terry Crews is the voice in it, like, back in the devlogs, like, 2 years ago.
Mm.
So, like, it's been 2 years. But that's that. Anyway, that is what we have for new games this week. I guess there is Anthem and Apex, but we'll get to that. In our discussions parts, we'll just spitball about some stuff.
Mm.
So, let's talk about Apex Legends and Anthem. I find it really weird that EA let Respawn release Apex like this close to Anthem. I sincerely think that EA had no idea how big Apex Legends was going to be. Because, like, people are already saying, oh, we're just going to keep playing Apex because Anthem looks kind of crap.
Yeah.
So, like, I just find it funny that they really shot themselves in the foot there.
So I'm confused. Which one's which?
Apex Legends is the Battle Royale one.
Mm-hmm.
Anthem is the kind of, what's that other game? Warframe type of game. Like the squad-based sort of a story mode made by BioWare.
Oh.
You know, where they definitely put their team instead of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Right. Yep.
It worries me, by the way, that the... BioWare's like, we're definitely not done with Mass Effect. I'm like, they're going to make, like, an MMORPG or,
yeah,
like,
they're going to milk it.
Like, they're going to do something that's not a single-player RPG that everyone wants.
Yeah.
Like, a true one.
Just let it die.
Yeah, basically. It's really at that point, isn't it? Where it's just like, look, you tried. Please don't.
Yeah, stop.
It's already ruined in our minds. Please don't ruin it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make it amazing, awesome, but you can't.
Unless, you know, they make something amazing and then that, you know, like the fourth one's just that, like, fourth child we don't talk about. The disappointment of the family.
I think BioWare is too big that EA wants too much control, and I don't think they can make an amazing game. That's the problem. Because, like, with Apex Legends, it had zero marketing. Respawn just kind of was allowed to do what the fuck they wanted with it because like Titanfall didn't make the biggest sale. So EA's probably just like, look, here's
just
your budget.
Do something.
Just make something.
Yeah.
And then it did really well. Mm. It should teach EA, actually, that please let your developers
just do what they want.
Make, like, they are the people making the games. They know how to make the games. That's why you bought them.
Mm.
So, yeah. That's really something. I just find it really funny that I think Apex is going to do so much better than Anthem. I think Anthem will do okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to do anywhere what they wanted it to be like.
Probably not. So, I don't know.
Destiny was the other one like Anthem, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to get back into Destiny. It sounds like they've done some really good things to make it good.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I didn't play so much of it, to be honest. We played a little bit.
We got to, like, the, not the highest level, but, like, the, like, not endgame things, but we got to the last, like, dungeon before we did, like, hard modes of the dungeons.
Did we?
Yeah.
Huh.
Or whatever they call their dungeons. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Operations or something.
Really did feel like, oh, okay, never mind.
The first thing didn't have too much content.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
They've added more with DLC and stuff.
Right.
Because that's what games are these days. They kind of release things as a concept.
Mm.
And they're like, well, if you like it, you guys
can
like
buy
it,
more of it.
We'll make more of it. Which
would be great if it was free.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah, it's a really hard spot for all these games like Anthem and stuff, because they invest so much into the engine and stuff to make the great thing that they don't put enough time into the content. Mm. And people get bored of it too fast, and that's just, yeah, what it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So I wish it was different, but I don't think it's going to be. Because it's like, I remember back when they would release, like, MMOs and stuff, you had content for ages. Because I think it was because, like, graphics quality was a lot lower then. And it's not that, I don't think they've got better at time managing content creation.
Mm.
It takes, like, longer, but yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about things like Anthem and Destiny, because, like, they come out with so little. That being said, as well, for Anthem's release, like, they've done these beta tests, and they've had lots of networking problems. Like, that's kind of the idea of the beta test. So when people get annoyed at, like, oh,
it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. My flip side to that is, though,
you're literally testing it.
Well, I think it's just come out a week early for people. The people that, like, pre-ordered one of the bundles, because there is the whole bundle thing that we will talk about.
Mm.
But one of the bundles get a week early and they're still having network issues. I'm like, no, this should be the full release part of, like, where you should have that fixed, because this is technically a week early for people who want the full release.
Yeah.
This isn't the beta. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there is four different packs. The highest one doesn't come with the week early, I think, but comes with some other stuff. The second to highest one gets a week early, but doesn't get the other stuff.
Yeah.
The lowest one gets, I can't remember what, like, it was like some skins or an extra mission or something, and then there's the standard. None of them have everything. There is not one single pack that has everything.
That frustrates me.
That is just mind-boggling.
That actually, yeah, that would frustrate me as a consumer.
Yeah.
Like, I would want everything.
But if I'm going to pay extra, I want everything.
Yeah, I don't want to miss out on something else just because.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Like, oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's not great.
I don't know who came up with that.
Oh, some marketing person. Like,
that was
terrible. Some marketing person was just like, we might get people buying two copies.
Yeah, I bet you that's exactly what happened. It's like, oh, if we do this, then people might buy, like, multiple copies just to get the extra stuff.
And that person needs to be punched in the face.
Yeah, fucking sucks.
It just means I'm not going to buy it. Like, I was, like, a month ago, I think I even said it on Questcast, I was like, you know, I'm considering buying it if they don't fuck it up. It looks good. Then they fucked it up. So that was that. That sucks. I expected nothing more, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm not hurt by it. It's not like I was really looking forward to it. And now I just have Apex Legends to play for free. And, like, my friends are playing it and it's fun. And I'm pretty terrible at it, but I have started to get a bit better. Because, like, I haven't played FPSs in a long time, at least competitively. Like, Halo I was pretty good at.
Yeah.
And then I didn't play anything after that until this. So I think it's just taken me a bit to get back into that
brushing
kind of...
brushing off the cobwebs.
Yeah, like it's a different mindset to playing Dota, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I play a lot of Dota and those types of games, or if I do play first person, it's like a story-based one, like a Fallout or something. So, like, I can take my time, or, like, I'm the hero with the OP spell, so, like, I can't lose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
I'm not used to, like, everything I do matters, and if I step out at the wrong time, I will die from someone with a sniper who has pinpoint accuracy, because they...
And if I don't keep my eyes out...
Do not have a girlfriend, and...
All right. Now you're just making assumptions.
It's true, I tell you. No, they're probably doing fine. They just are better than me. I've always been bad at sniping, actually, so that's just me.
Yeah.
Moving on. Darksiders 3. Now, we've been trying to get through Darksiders 1, but I just find this nice. Darksiders 3 made its development and marketing money back. I just want to talk about what can other AAA studios do to make things like this viable. Like,
what do you mean?
So they've made, like, it wasn't a great release, Darksiders 3. So, like, it wasn't, I think, like, diehard fans played it. A lot of people complained about, like, how they kind of changed it. They added a mode in not too far after where it made the combat kind of like the original 2. But even with that, they've made their money back from the development and the marketing, which means it's not necessarily making them huge profit, but it hasn't lost them any money.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you saying that the marketing was really good?
No, I'm just saying the cost of the marketing.
So they did shit all marketing and made their money back?
No, I'm not saying they did shit all marketing. I'm just saying that the development and the marketing cost has been made back.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, the money they put into this project, they've made back.
Yeah.
It's good because the game wasn't received well. So what can other, I guess, AAA studios learn from that? Because, like, they throw so much into their games and then it still makes money and they're just like, didn't make enough money.
Well, that seems like the same thing.
No, because they were, like, pretty humble about it. Like, the devs were, at least.
Because all you're saying is, it was a shit game, but it made its money back. So, awesome. What can everyone else learn from it? Well, they're already doing that. They're making shit games and making money off of them.
Yeah, but they're canning them when they don't... Like, they can... What I'm saying is, like, they've considered this a success because it made its money back. Right? Whereas, like, EA is like, oh, we can't buy England, so it's a failed project.
But... with the way that this game was received, do you want them to be still, like, continuing? I don't know. What does it matter?
Well, I think it's interesting. Like, some people found it good, right? So they've made a AAA or a close to AAA product that may not have appealed to the masses, but appealed to enough people that... they made their money back and can make another thing like it, or they could maybe make their next project more like the originals, which people wanted for this one. They're still in the game to learn about it, kind of thing. Or, like, they're still in the they still have the opportunity to make another game for this series, essentially. I just find it, like, their attitude on it is interesting compared to, like, the other people's attitudes who are like, well, it didn't make it all the money, so... Because, like, I find it funny that, or I find it amusing that some people can be, like, really modest about this stuff, while, like, obviously it's a business person versus a developer sort of thing, though.
That's exactly it. You've just pinned the
nail on the head. I look at things like Darksiders 3 is, I kind of compare it to, like, God of War. Not obviously the quality of the game, but, like, they're like, oh, we'll make this single player thing that, because, like, people can still play single player games. And like God of War is like, yeah, we'll just make a really good experience and people will love it and we don't need to put microtransaction stuff and it'll make more money than your game with microtransactions.
Mm.
I just don't understand how business people aren't like, why isn't my studio doing that? It's like they don't ask, or they probably don't give a shit about games.
Because they don't give a shit.
Yeah, it just really gets me.
I love how you keep having these revelations.
Like... Well, I don't have a revelation. Like, if they... Like, as someone who invests money...
But every time we talk about this, every time we talk about microtransactions or loot boxes or whatever, you're like, I just don't understand why they're not doing this. Like, if they took them out, they'd make more money and blah, blah. And you're like, oh, wait, they don't give a shit. Every time we talk about it, you're like, wait, hold on.
But, like, if I... Like, these people are meant to be investors, right? And investors are meant to be like, where do I put my money to make the best money? And they seem to, like, when it comes to video games, they seem to get it wrong more than any other industry.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's hard to say whether that exact same game would make as much money without microtransactions. You can see, like, God of War would have made, like, heaps of money, but that's because it's a fucking awesome game. And had it had microtransactions in it, then it possibly would have made more money.
Maybe.
Because everyone would have bought it, everyone would have enjoyed it, and there would be people out there who would be willing to pay, like, extra stuff for extra stuff. So to say, like, I think their mentality is...
See, I disagree with you there, but we'll get to that.
If we can make a game that everyone will buy and add microtransactions in it, then we are getting more money out of them.
True. But let me raise this point. Is the reason games like God of War and Spider-Man and Detroit Become Human, are the features in it good because they're not diluted by the need for microtransactions? Because what microtransactions in those other games do is essentially lock out content that you have to purchase. If that content was in there to begin with, would it be a better game?
Well, I don't know, because they're completely different games. That's what I'm saying. Like, there isn't a game equivalent of Detroit Become Human or God of War or whatever that has microtransactions. So it's hard to compare. They're different types of games.
All right, I'll give you... Oh, God of War, I won't. There are lots of adventure games where they take out features for microtransactions and stuff. Like, my Detroit Become Human, that is a very unique game. I will give you that. Like,
but I mean,
the only,
like,
thing I could think of is Telltale to, like, a much less.
I mean, like, an equivalent game, not just like an adventure game, an equivalent game.
Well, that's my point, though. Would these games be equivalent if they spent more time making the features better instead of hiding the features behind?
Well, it depends
behind
on what game you're talking about. Because all I'm thinking of is, like, MOBAs and, like, the Battle Royales and the, you know, the ones like that have the loot boxes and the things like that. I'm trying to think of an equivalent game to, which I would not say, like, they're completely different games. The style of the game, the point of the
MOBAs.
Game.
Oh, yeah, MOBAs. Something like Assassin's Creed is what I was thinking. Like, it is a single player experience where they put a lot, like, yes, you can level up in it, but it is very hindered by the adding of microtransactions. Like, oh, we could make this a good pace, but we'll slow it down a bit so that they feel like buying them. That kind of stuff. If that was part of God of War, if it was the exact same quality of game, but they decided, oh, we want people to buy microtransactions in it, so there needs to be a reason to buy microtransactions. That affects the gameplay.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't played enough of Assassin's Creed to assess whether...
No, we haven't. I've heard it from a lot of people, though, especially in the latest one. We're playing the Egypt one. What's that called? I want to say Oasis, but it's not Oasis.
No, it's not Oasis. It's like there's Legacy, I think.
Because Odyssey's the new one, right?
Yeah, I think Odyssey's the new one.
Assassin's Creed, yeah. Origins, that's the
Origins.
One. Origins is the Oasis. Egypt.
Anyway, I don't know. Like,
because that's the whole point. Like, you get far enough into the game that you're like, I want to finish this, but my character's not getting better. That's how they do it. It's not great. What did you just break?
My phone dropped.
Okay.
I mean, Tomb Raider had microtransactions of a sort.
Did it?
Well, you had stuff that you could purchase.
That was like actual DLC though, wasn't
it?
No,
and outfits and stuff, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That had nothing to do with the leveling, and I'm okay, like, I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how they're viewing it. They're viewing it as, wow, look at this game that everyone will buy, and then if we add in stuff that they can additionally buy, we'll make more money. That's how they're viewing it. They're not looking at it as, oh, it affects the gameplay. Like, that, they're not thinking about that.
If they're investing in it, like, I don't see what, like, I guess EA still makes them money. It just doesn't make them the money they want. But if they, I think EA is too corrupted to now do it. Because even if all the investors backed out, I think EA would still make terrible games because they think that that's how you make games now. Unfortunately. I just, like, it's amazing to me how they can't see the difference, even like at the EA level. Like, if it is the investor being like, just make us money, why aren't the people that know about games being like, hey, why don't we do this in a way that people don't hate us?
Because you've dealt with any sort of higher up authority and you've tried to say, hey, that would be a not okay thing to do. This would be a better way to do it. And they still go, yeah, but we're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
You've had that experience.
Okay, I have that experience, but the game industry has proven many of times that that is not the case.
What do you mean? What's not the case?
That, like, how the way that they're aggressively targeting people, it makes money in the short term, not the long term.
Yeah.
So
there's still, like, that's what I'm saying. There's still the people that are like, we're going to do it my way. Because that's just it. There's no other logic behind it.
Yeah, but my experience with higher-ups is, like, they won't fuck up twice. Like, if something didn't work the first time, they will be like, well, that didn't work, I was wrong. These people seem to be like, that was wrong, but we're going to do it again.
But they'll be like, if it made money, it made money.
It's the
wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're like, oh, yes, we made money.
They're not successful businessmen. That's my point. Like, it's just a big pyramid scheme. Like, oh, this made enough money to get more investors so we can make the next project bigger and make more money, air quotation marks, that will let us put more money into our next game. Like, every game is substantially getting more expectations from it. There will be a point where, like people like Jim Sterling have said this, like, there's just going to be a point where, like, there's not enough money to make the next game. That is where it is going. And, like, if everyone else in the industry can see this, why can't these people that are meant to be the business experts?
Because, well, I suppose you've got, like, a mixture of people who are probably like, oh, I'm just going to get what I can get out of it, and then...
Oh, from the investor's point?
And then
I'm going
to fuck off.
Yeah, from the investor's point, they'll get to a point where they're like, nah, we're not going to invest again. It's more from, like, that kind of middle to upper management part where I just don't get it. And I just can't get it.
Because they are exactly that. Like, oh, I'll keep doing my job and get paid until there's no more job and then I'll move on.
These people should be assassinated. That's all I can say.
Oh.
Well, they're... Because they, like... I don't know. I look forward to the day where, like, more and more indies can just make amazing stuff with the technology that's out.
Yeah.
Because that's also a thing. Like, more indies are getting, like, the more advanced Unreal Engine and Unity Engine, or Unity 3D, sorry, get, the more easier it is that a five-person indie team can make what a 10-person indie team could make 4 years ago. And in the next 4 years, that five-person team can maybe be, like, two people.
Yeah.
And then a 10-person team will be able to do what, like, a 30-person team was able to do. Like, it's getting more like that. So they're... Yeah. That's my only thing. Because, like, I was thinking about this as well. Like, someone like CD Projekt Red, they're huge now. And they still put the care into their games, and it pays off for them. Like, they were able to make GOG.
Well, I'm not saying that they're all like that.
Oh, no. That's my point, though. There's, like, some that are like, oh, this is how you run something successfully and, like, long-lasting.
And then those will survive, and others won't. That is business. There are people who make stupid decisions, and they fail.
Look, people voted for Trump. I don't know why I'm arguing with the internet.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of stupid business decisions, Valve made a game called Artifact. It was a Dota 2 thing that could have been really good, but they decided, hold on, we could make all the money with this. And by trying to do so, made none of the money with this. As you do. Dota Chess, which is like a...
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's like an add-on, like one of those marketplace things that you can play for free, has more concurrent players than the game that Valve made themselves, which is part of like the Dota lore. Like that, I think that just shows how out of touch that Valve is with their player base. Like, I think they make a great store, and I think like they know how to make a good store now because they've kind of transitioned into making a store. Game wise, though, like I only think they know how to make their old game, like not make their old games, but I think they only know how to improve their games, and improve is a
loose term
because I think. If they made that same, like if Dota 2 had zero player base and they made that today, the exact same way it was, it is now, I don't think people would pick it up.
No.
Like, I really like it, but I don't think they've innovated enough like a new game coming out has.
Be interested to see what their rate of new players are.
I don't think it's great. I would love to look
like,
into some.
I can only imagine that it's being supported purely out of like a sustained, loyal player base rather than continually new people coming on.
I think it picked up for a bit at when they put all the new tutorial stuff in because they did make it an easier learning curve because the learning curve was hard.
Yeah.
I don't remember if you remember. Like, I remember being like, what does all this do? Why am I clicking here? So it is a fun game, though. As you've said, though, I wish the user base was less toxic.
Yeah.
That is something really good about Apex Legends. You can just mute everybody, and the ping system is so good. Like, there's context for everything that you don't need to talk to people, and they can't abuse you. All they can do is say, like, hey, I think we should go here. Hey, there was an enemy there. Enemy just ran through here. Like, it's done so well.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, my God. Like, if I hated everything else about the game, like, I'd still be like, okay, every other game, implement that.
Yeah.
That thing right there, like, they have struck
actual
gold.
Yeah.
What was
people
I even talking
about? People are forgetting
about?
Their manners. You were talking about...
Yeah. Dota 2,
yeah.
Dota Chess, Artifact. Yes. It's amazing to me. So, yeah. People are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a great player, but I've won games that we probably would have lost, like, when there was a toxic person where I'm just like, you know what, guys, we can do this. Like, it's fun. Let's just, you know, reset or, you know, be happy, you know. That, like, somewhat of a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And just saying things like, if someone fucks up, just be like, don't worry about it. I've done the same. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
You'll get them next time, kid. Whereas, like, there's people that are like, oh, my God, you're so shit, and then go die themselves. You're like, yeah, well, I wouldn't have died if, yeah.
Yes. We don't need to detail.
I do.
The conversation logs of Dota 2.
It is exactly that. So, yeah, Dota Chess, doing well. I still haven't played it. A few friends have wanted me to. I just can't be bothered installing it, to be honest. It looks kind of cool, but not cool enough for me to do it. I just want to play normal Dota. That is that's our discussions for today. So we'll go into one bit of industry news. Blizzard Activision recorded their biggest year of profits. Their biggest, Caitlin. Their biggest.
That's impressive.
So to reward all their hard workers,
yep.
They fired 800 of them, or 775, close to 800.
That's good for morale.
Yeah. Well, earlier they also gave their new CEO or CFO that they just hired $15 million. So, you know, you got to put the profits somewhere. I don't.
It feels like that could have just gone towards paying those people's salaries.
That is like, it's not 800 salaries, but it's a lot of salaries. But yeah, don't at all like that they paid him that bonus before firing a bunch of people. But for
what
the
dick move.
Yeah, look, we'll get into Blizzard in a second, but yeah, I think a lot of it, like maybe 400 of them, were probably unnecessary. But as I've read throughout the internet and like I've read into this a bit, there's like they shut down their kind of esports stuff because they're like, our esports aren't doing the same as everybody else's esports. We're going to stop working on what was it, Heroes of the Storm? Like, I've heard that a lot of the people that were fired were around that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And that makes sense. At the same time, they're also hiring new developers for some other projects and things like that. I don't know why some of them could have just been not fired and moved over, but...
Well, to be fair, and I don't know how much you've looked into this, but...
It's probably different child companies and things like that.
It's possible, like, you just don't know what the conversations were. Because it's possible that they were like, hey, we've got these new projects coming up. You know, do you want, you know, we can offer you a place there. And maybe it meant relocation or like, you know, you have no idea what it meant, like, what was offered to these people instead of being fired. But, yeah.
No, I get that. 800 is a lot, though.
Tis.
Like, it's not like, oh, 30 people were fired.
Yeah.
We said they could work for 4 more weeks, but they chose not to, kind of thing.
Yeah, like, no, I get what you mean.
It was 800. I can only imagine some of them were offered positions at different places.
Mm.
As I already said, a lot was for the esports stuff that they've decided to discontinue, so there's not really anywhere for them to move. Because I imagine a lot of those were transferring completely different roles. Like, oh, we're firing a bunch of server-side esports and like marketing people, but we're hiring lots of devs and they can't do that job.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't know the exact thing of it. I still think they shouldn't have fired so many people after like announcing that they've had the most profits they've ever had.
It was poor timing, let's put it that way.
Yeah, like
they could have waited a bit.
Everything together just seems really bad. I mean, there's no way you can fire 800 people and it look good, but I can understand some of it. The next thing, Blizzard says they have nothing big coming in 2019. This is like a company that used to just like everyone waited for their games. And their kind of motto was, you know, we will release it when it's done. It'll be quality. Like quality is above everything else.
Mm.
I don't think anyone feels that about their games anymore.
No.
Like, especially with like releasing... the Diablo mobile thing, or not releasing, announcing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's just like, well, they don't care about
games
anymore.
Well, fuck you.
Because I think they just want the Chinese market to pay for that.
Mm.
That's what it is. Essentially, they've lost their soul, and they're just like, why spend $100 million to make $150 million when we can spend $50 million to make $400 million on a mobile game?
Yeah.
Because people that play mobile games ruin it for people who enjoy gaming. Just FYI.
You assholes.
I can't get into mobile games.
I know.
I wish I could, but like I get my phone out. I think it's a lot to do with phone technology as well. Like phones just get hot. The control scheme's always terrible, especially when they try and like map, like they're like, oh, play Vice City on your phone. It'll feel terrible, but it's Vice City and you remember it being great, right?
Remember how it used to be good?
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah, it's just unfortunate. So that's Blizzard. That's Blizzard Activision. Their merger has done no good for either company. What have you been playing this week, Caitlin?
The Sims 4.
I think you were playing that like 2 weeks ago when we said it as well.
Yeah. 100 Baby Challenge still going strong.
What are you at, 42?
Hey?
42.
42 what?
Babies.
Oh, no. Let me check for you.
All right, while you do that, I played some Apex Legends. It was good. I started off and I'm like, oh, how do I shoot a gun? That was really bad. I feel like I was letting down every team I was on. I played with some friends, feel like I was letting them down. But I've slowly gotten better. Like, from going from, like, no kills in 20 matches to, like, one kill every few matches to, like, two kills on some matches, like, I actually feel like I'm improving, which is nice. Especially in, like, a short period. So that's good. And learning, like, what guns to pick up and what things you should get rid of is always a big part of that battle royale game, I guess.
14 babies.
You got a long way to go.
Yeah. My first matriarch's approaching elderhood. So
how long does this usually take?
I don't know. I've never, like, I haven't actually looked into, like, records or whatever. I'm just doing it to do it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, my first matriarch's nearly an elder, so gotta prime up the second one. My youngest daughter. They'll take on my lineage.
Fair enough. That's so weird that you've got, like, a game inside of a game. What else have I been playing? So I played Apex Legends with some friends. I have been playing Final Fantasy 15 as well. Not 15, sorry. Final Fantasy 13, so I can play 15.
Yeah.
And I've got Final Fantasy 13 2 to play. And it's... I like it. I really like the story. I just feel like there's a lot of unnecessary combat. At least in the start of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to go... Like, I actually like the combat, but there's so much of it between the cutscenes that's unnecessary that, it provides nothing to the experience. Which...
Very true.
Like, I'm not... Because it's not like, you're fired... Like, they don't even, like, make good story points for it sometimes. Like... Sometimes they'll be like,
fights.
Yeah, sometimes they'll be like, oh, there's lots of soldiers guarding this area, and that kind of makes sense. And then you'll just be walking through a temple, and there'll be some random soldiers, and then there'll be some monsters. And then there's a big bird in this thing for some reason.
Yeah, watch out for that.
I feel like it's designed to take up a lot of your time, and I know that's kind of how JRPGs are. It just feels like it could be less.
Yeah. That's all. Who knows?
So yeah, that's all we've been doing this week.
Yep.
This fortnight even.
Busy.
So busy. I guess we have been working on our game project as well. So that is Battle Corp, which we should be releasing on HIO in 2 weeks or a little bit less than 2 weeks. I'm not sure. We'll hopefully get around to it.
Are we?
Yes.
2 weeks?
Yes, that'll be when it's feature complete.
Okay.
That'll be alpha, so if you want to get it early, it'll be free, or you can pay what you want for it. It's pay what you want. That's what it is. So that's nice. Yeah, I guess that's all for us. So if you want to check us out, you can go to twitter.com/Keskast. You can go to twitch.tv/Keskast. I always want to say .com for that. I forget that it's TV. You can get us individually if you want to search us on Twitter or any of other handles. You can go to keskast.com, or you can search for us on YouTube. Just search Keskast. We don't have a handle on that yet. And we won't for a long time because you have to have 100 subscribers.
If you want us to have a handle, you should subscribe.
Yes, that. We also will be doing game dev streams again real soon. We are in the process of getting better internet that supports the streaming. It'll be so nice to go back to that, and with that we'll be looking into some Patreon stuff, so keep tuned. Thanks all, have a lovely week.